This morning, I want you to go to 2 Kings chapter 4, and want to read the first 7 verses. I can't even read it because I need reading glasses to read that, so I'll read it off the screen. It says here, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets. Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my 2 boys and his slaves. Elijah replied to her, "How can I help you?" This is an important question. In fact, he has 2 questions. How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing here at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. And Elijah said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour oil into the jars. And as each is filled, put it to the side. And she left him and shut the door and behind her and her sons, and they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. And when all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. And then the oil stopped flowing. And she went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. Wow. So Holy Spirit, I say that you would just speak to us through this text today, that you would help us to extrapolate your revelation and what you want to say to this house this morning. Father, that you're still in the business of doing miracles. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
This morning, Pastor Jim just was sharing about miracles. How many of you still believe in miracles? And I titled the message, Empty Vessels, and the subtitle is, What Do You Have? What do you have? The story in our text is an example of a widow who positions herself to receive a miracle, a breakthrough that she desperately needed from God. And it's something changed in this house on this day. A house that was filled with hopelessness, a house that was filled with desperation, a house that was filled with lack. And something happened, and this house was then filled with hope, and it was filled with peace, and it was filled with prosperity, and it was filled with life. And I believe in the same way this morning that God wants to do something in your house this morning, individually and corporately, even as your church, as this house right here this morning. Just to be here and sense the beautiful presence of God in this house, I believe a yoke will be broken and you will return home and discover that something has changed in your house. Is there anybody that desperately needs a change in your house this morning? See, one of the things that we need to understand this morning is that the change and the breakthrough and the miracle and the provisions you need is already in your house. You have everything you need this morning to receive the miracle that God wants to perform for you. Amen?
You see, when God created you, he created you with everything that you need, everything that you already need on the inside of you. Pastor Jim, when he was praying, he said that Christ is in us. Nothing could take us down because Christ lives in us. And how many of you know that God only creates the best product? He only creates the best product. And so he put a seed on the inside of each of you. And when it's triggered, it can help us through any situation imaginable. That seed of faith, or that seed that has been given you, that measure of faith that we've all been given to, that seed of perseverance and love and courage and generosity. He did not create us without those things, without his stamp, without his mark upon us. There's something on the inside of you. Look at your neighbor and say, there's something on the inside of you. There's something on the inside of you this morning. If I could get more of these house lights higher, that would be great, man. And so there's something on the inside of each and every one of us. We know why the enemy fights you. It's because not because of what's on you, but the enemy fights us because of what's in us. That he doesn't like, that he detests and hates what's on the inside of us. So he tries everything to take us off track and distract us. But look inside yourself and discover this morning the treasure that God has put inside of you, the gift and the talent and the ability that God has placed inside you and inside this house this morning. Don't define yourselves by what others say or what others think about you or your history or your past or your failures. But define yourself this morning based on what God says about you and what his word says about you this morning. That's how you need to define yourself by. And that's how you're going to enter your preferred future. And that's how you're going to see God move in your life and in your house and in your marriage and in your church. The only way the enemy can paralyze your productivity is to create you not to realize who you really are internally in Christ Jesus. That's what he does. And so he does this by the external circumstances that come against our life, by the negative situations or the hardships or the problems that we face. And he tries to convince you that you have nothing within you that is productive or fruitful or useful. But how many of you know that the enemy is a liar this morning? He's a liar this morning. And if Jesus, who paid the greatest price for your life and my life and died on the cross, and that same Jesus lives on the inside of you and lives on the inside of me this morning, then how can we not be valuable? How can we not have something worthwhile and something that is filled with treasure and value in our lives? You know, I've seen many people in a church through the years who have given up on God, who have given up on their calling or on their marriage or on their family or on their church because they convinced themselves through life circumstances and hardships that they have nothing valuable on the inside of them. Because they have failed to realize and discover who they really are in Christ Jesus. They failed to realize their true identity in Christ Jesus, and instead they chose to believe a lie about themselves. And maybe you're here this morning and you've been believing a lie. My prayer this morning is that by the time you leave today, that's going to be taken away from you, and that God is going to give you a fresh perspective and a fresh vision about who you are in Christ Jesus, that you are more than a conqueror. That you are his child, that you are his son, that you are his daughter, that you've been paid and bought by the greatest price on the cross of Calvary, and that God has made you into a new creature, and the old is past, and the new has come, and that you are his, and that he cares about the details of your life, and that he cares about every intricate part of your life, and that you are the apple of his eye, and that behold, he engraved you in the palms of his hands, that you are loved, that you are accepted, that you've been appointed, that you've been approved, that you've been called and you've been sent in the mighty name of Jesus. That's what he says about you. So you need to know who you are in Christ. You need to realize this morning that what you need, the miracle you need, the breakthrough you need, the blessing that you need this morning, that ingredient is already on the inside of you. The seed of God is inside of you. You have everything you need to fulfill your God-given potential and destiny, to advance the kingdom of God and succeed in your marriage, in your family, and to influence people on your in your workplace, to overcome every obstacle in life. The seed of triumph and provision and courage and faith and boldness and healing and victory and freedom is in you. When you do this, you are positioning yourself for a miracle to take place in your house and for a blessing to come upon your life, for that breakthrough to come upon your life. And so miracles, you need to realize this morning, and if you're jotting notes down, please take a piece of paper and write some of these things down as we go this morning. But you need to realize that miracles don't just happen. They are not accidental occurrences. They are the deliberate acts of God motivated by our radical obedience and our desperate faith. Radical obedience and our desperate faith. And every time you step into the realm of obedience, every time you and I step into the realm of radical faith regarding what God is calling us to, we position ourselves for God's hand to move upon our life. We position ourselves for the fullness of Christ manifesting his power and his sovereign intervention in our life. And for the most part, there is always a faith element and an act of obedience on our part that triggers that miracle. The story in our text is an example of God performing this incredible miracle in this widow's home, and a widow who positions herself for a miracle to take place, and everything she needed for her miracle was already in her house. Prophet Elijah, on his way, walks into the house of this widow, and he opens the door, and there is death in the house. I mean, the husband of this widow, who is a son of the prophet, is no longer there. He's dead. And all is left is the wife and her two sons, major debt, no life insurance, no unemployment check coming in. Her sons were going to be taken away from the creditors to be as slaves. Things went from bad to worse. Ever been in that place where things go from bad to worse? But how many of you know when things go from bad to worse, it's at that moment that God is ready to intervene in your life. It's at that moment that when you step out into the realm of obedience and you step out into the realm of faith, God triggers. It triggers the heavens. It opens the doors of heaven, and God is going to rain down on you. His presence is going to rain down on you. He's got something for you, and he wants to do something for you. And he wants to do that for you this morning. And so how many of you know that there's certain atmospheres in homes and churches? And when the prophet walked into this home, there was an atmosphere of death. There was no joy. There was no peace. There was no hospitality. There was no generosity. There wasn't even a chair for the prophet to sit on. And so a lot of times, through our circumstances around us, we set atmospheres. And I know I travel, so I stay in a lot of homes, and I visit a lot of churches. And let me tell you, some of the atmospheres I walk into aren't very pleasant. Many times we'll walk into some churches and there isn't the atmosphere of life. There isn't the atmosphere of joy. There isn't that atmosphere of peace and unity. But I love the simplicity of this church. I love the simplicity of your pastors and the simplicity even of your worship and the purity of it all. And you could sense God is doing something. And so I want to just challenge you this morning. Don't allow the external circumstances of life dictate or determine the atmosphere. But let your belief in Christ, let his word determine the atmosphere in your place. And so When you walk into this house that is filled with more death than life, you most likely will hear more complaints than praise. But I'm glad that there's praise in this house. Amen. There is praise in this house. And as Elijah walks into this house, it's filled with despair. And he says, what's happened? And this woman is in pain, and she begins to divulge her issue. My husband was a son of the prophets. He served the Lord faithfully. And he died. Now, what do you do when it looks like following and serving God isn't always working? Ever been in that situation? What do you do? I mean, it's easy to testify when things are going great. It's easy to testify when the offering is raised. It's easy to testify when the promotion is received. It's easy to testify when you get that job. It's easy to testify when the healing takes place. But what do you do when you're faithfully serving God and you're praying and you're fasting and you're doing all the right things and it seems like nothing is happening? What do you do? What do you do in those situations? What do you do when the tumor is still there? What do you do when the job doesn't land? What do you do when the promotion doesn't come or the provision doesn't arrive? What do you do in those situations? And it's at those moments that we have a choice in dictating what atmosphere we create around our life, around our family, in our home, or in the life of the church. And maybe you've gone through a difficult season, even as the life of the church. What atmosphere are we creating? Are we going to let the external things interfere with the presence of God, with His blessing, with joy, and with unity, with power? And so we set that atmosphere. And this woman here was consumed and overtaken by her situation. And my husband did his best to do everything right and served faithfully as one of the prophets. And now he's dead. And things aren't working. And things are going from bad to worse. What do you do when you're in that situation? You see, the woman hadn't realized what was in her house. She hadn't realized, she hadn't understood who came into her house that day. And not discerned that what she already had in her house would give her the miracle that she needed. The woman was on the brink of experiencing a supernatural intervention in her home, and she didn't even know it. Some of you today, you're on the brink of experiencing a supernatural intervention for whatever situation you're facing, and you don't even know it. But today, God's going to awaken you to that thought and that idea. He wants to do it for you. She was so consumed with the negative situation and her debt and her husband leaving her behind, and she had her sons there, that the creditors were going to come and take them as slaves. In Bible days, when if you owed money, whoever you owed money to had the right to come. And what they would do is they would come and they would take the next generation in the family and enslave them, and they would have to pay back that debt. In some ways, it's a picture of the spirit of the world today, the enemy seeking to enslave the next generation, knocking on the door of the church saying, your sons and your daughters will be our slaves, and we'll chain them and we'll addict them and we'll bind them and anything, any, we'll bind them to anything that will kill, steal, and destroy their life. And the only thing between the creditors and the next generation away into slavery was the oil. And the oil represents what? It represents the Holy Spirit. It's the oil that represents the miracle power of God. The oil represents the supernatural intervention of God. And the only thing that can stop the next generation from being enslaved is not more programs. It's not more entertainment. It's going to take the anointing of the Holy Spirit to see them free and stay free. And the answer is in the house. And that's why our heart is for that next generation, even in the nation of Italy. It's because we believe that God wants to rescue that generation. And that's why we're launching out for that next generation. You see, this woman came to the point where she thought she had no other option, that there was no other solution or alternatives, to the point of almost accepting the fact that her sons would be enslaved. When it comes to the next generation, friends, we can't settle or accept the ploy of the enemy. We need to fight. We need to fight. in whatever situation you're in, you can't just settle and say, oh, this is just the way it is, and this is just the way it's going to be. No, it's not. You can't settle. You need to fight for what God has for you. There are some of you here today faced with some big challenges and problems, and you know, you've convinced yourself there's no other solution. There's no other answer. You came to church today convinced there's no other solution. And maybe you've come and you're giving this your last chance, saying, God, intervene in my life today. Because if you don't, then this is just the way it's always going to be, and I'm just going to accept it. You've convinced yourself and tried everything possible to fix your situation and see change come to your house, to your family, to your marriage, your finances, your health, and to your nation. And today, you think you're stuck in that situation forever. Those of you that are millennials in the house today, listen to me. Some of you young people here today in this room, and you're giving up. And you've chosen to believe a lie about yourself because of your past failures. Can I tell you something? If God puts something on the inside of you, set your mind on it and act on it in faith, and you will achieve it. You can't let your past failure or setback cause you to sit back and determine your future, but rather you need to prepare your comeback through the supernatural intervention of the Holy Spirit this morning. How many of you want that? You know, I'm here to tell you that God is getting ready to intervene on your behalf, to change your situation, to open up the heavens, and to pull you out of despair and sense of hopelessness and past failure. I'm talking to you today to those of you that are in this situation, that you've come to a place where you feel there's no other way, there's no solution, there is no answer to my condition, there is no solution to my situation. I'm here to tell you, yes, there is. And everything you need is already there in your house for your miracle. Everything you need. Activate that measure of faith that God has given you. Let faith see the invisible and believe the unbelievable and receive the impossible in Jesus' name. Elijah, seeing the woman in desperation and bitterness, asks her these two important questions. How can I help you? What can I do for you? The woman never answers the question because her deep state of pain and possible resentment and perhaps depression, there is a level of despair that sometimes will not allow you to receive a message of faith because you cannot receive what you cannot conceive. See, imagine how difficult the season this woman is going through, ready to sell her children and ask her, what can I do for you? Certain that she was certain she had no other option. And therefore, she never answers the question. So the prophet asks her the second question and says, well, what do you have in your house? Now, you might think like, why are you asking me, what do I have in my house? I'm the owner of this house. I know my house inside out. I know exactly what I have. I know exactly what I don't have. You're just visiting. You're a prophet visiting my house, and you're asking me, what do I have in my house? What do you have in your house? And the question is almost suggesting that the woman has not discerned what she has in her house. And she said, and she, see, the key point here is, friends, sometimes we don't realize what we take for granted, what God has already given us. How many times have you taken for granted what God has given you, the gifts and that he's deposited in you, what he's given you as a church? And sometimes the hardship and the struggle and the external circumstances blinds us to what we do have. And that there is a solution and that there is an answer. Those gifts he's given you as a church, many times we view them as things of that are precious, things that God has given us as ordinary. Instead, they're very precious and they're very divine. So don't discredit what God has already given you, provided for you, and placed in your hands and in your house this morning. The small things and the small beginnings, they are divine. And the prophet Elijah said, what do you have in your house? And she said, not very much. All I have is a jar with a little bit of oil. What is the prophet trying to teach us here? That God will always use what you already have. Faith starts with what you have, not with what you don't have. It's so easy to talk about what we don't have, don't we? Oh, I just don't have. I can't give towards this initiative. I can't do this because I just don't have. I think far too many times things don't get done for the kingdom, and a vision for the church doesn't get realized, or a vision for a ministry doesn't get realized because we make excuses and that we don't have because of our situations and circumstances. So don't underestimate the power and the potential in what you have. The potential of multiplication and fruitfulness it can produce when it's activated and given in faith. Let me give you some examples. Abraham, we all know the story of Abraham. And what did God say? God said to Abraham, give me your one and only son, your son Isaac. That's what Abraham had. And God says, give it to me. And so when he went to the mountain and he was ready to offer up his son, God says, stop. Now I know that you're faithful. And then he gave them. What did he give for Abraham? He, out of his sacrifice and out of his obedience and offering up his son, Abraham became the father of many nations. And that's the whole formula of multiplication. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah encounters a widow and asks her to make him something to eat. And she says, all I have is a little bit of water and a little bit of flour to make a little cake for me and my son. And when we consume this cake, we're going to just starve and die. And the prophet said, make me that cake. I want to have some of that cake. And you will see that your oil and your flour and your water will never run dry. You see, you always have food for you. A miracle took place in that house on that day that lasted forever. What about David and Goliath when he had to face the giant? And he was offered the armor of Saul. And he says, I don't need the armor of Saul. But what did David have in his hands? He had a slingshot and some stones. And with that slingshot and with some stones, he defeated the giant that day. What about in the New Testament when Jesus feeds the 5,000 and they're out this multitude on the hillside and with women and with children? It was probably 15,000 people that day. And so the disciples went to him and says, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed them? And what does Jesus say? What do we have? We have 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And he takes the 2 fish and the 5 loaves of bread and he breaks it. And it begins to multiply. And the multitude gets fed. And then I love the sense of humor of Jesus. Not only does the multitude get fed, but there's 12 baskets of food left over for every one of those disciples. And he says, here, buddy, here you go. Here you go. That is the formula of multiplication. When we step out and when we realize that what we have, even if it's little, and we give that, and we act in obedience and in faith, God begins to multiply. So we're not going to just sit here and say what we don't have, but God has already given you what you need. And every one of those illustrations, it was about someone taking what they had and giving it, and God multiplies it, and God blesses it in Jesus' name, and things begin to happen, miracles begin to happen. Listen, your blessing isn't going to come from somebody or another source. Your blessing and your breakthrough and provision and miracle this morning is going to be released to you when you take what you have and give it and declare it today that there is something on the inside of you today. What is in your house? And the widow said, all I have is this vessel and a little bit of oil. 2 important things. Vessel and oil. The vessel is the container. The oil is the content. You know, God loves to work with containers and content. When you understand and get a revelation of the container and the content, then you begin to unlock the miracle. The oil isn't the issue in the story. It's there and it's ready to be poured out and poured out in a never-ending way. The issue in the story is there a vessel? If you want a miracle, you need to get something that God can pour it into. Come on. It's like going to the grocery store and you buy all these beautiful groceries, but you don't have the bag. You don't have the container. Or it's like ordering pizza, and the pizza delivery guy comes to your house, and he's holding the pizza on his hand without the box, right? You know, I don't know if you saw in the news, but the Domino's pizza guy went in the elevator, took the pizza box, opened it, and started picking off the toppings. Anyways, that's another story. But can you imagine, he comes and he's delivering this pizza and the mozzarella sliding off and the sauce is dripping down his hand, and you open a door and you see this pizza that's half sliding on this gentleman. You see, friends, it's the box. I mean, the box is just a 35-cent box. That doesn't give value to the product. It's the product that gives value to the box. And if you don't have something to put into the product, it goes to waste. The 120 in the upper room, they were up in Jerusalem. They were in the upper room and they were waiting for the gift of heaven. They were waiting for the gift that God promised to send them. And the people were the vessels. The people were the containers. And the Holy Spirit was the content. Whenever the container finds its content, something supernatural takes place. There is something on the inside of you. We are just vessels in Christ. And Christ is in us. And all you need to be is that vessel that is available and that is clean and that is empty. And God says, give me a vessel and I will give you a miracle. Give me a vessel and I will pour out my oil. Give me a vessel and I will pour out my blessing and my purpose on you. That's the powerful principle here. Giving what you have and connecting it to you being that available and willing vessel to receive will release the supernatural intervention of God. Elijah says to the woman who is in debt, tell your sons to go and borrow as many empty vessels as you can from the neighbors. Not just a few, but borrow as many as you can. And you can imagine this scene. And the woman determines the magnitude of her miracle. Go and borrow as many vessels as you possibly can. What's he saying? He's saying this, that you determine how much oil and miracles that will allow to flow in your life and the life of this church, not God, because heaven has an endless supply. And the only issue is if he can find vessels to be poured into. God wants to pour out oil with a flow that you've never seen before. Pastor Jim, I believe this. Every time I come here, I just get the word revival. I don't know. You're on the brink of something, friends. And when his flow of oil starts to be poured out, it's going to be supernatural. The Lord says, what I want you to do, what I want to do for you is something big. That's why the devil may try to discourage you or hold you back or set setbacks against you, because the enemy knows your eyes have not seen, your ears have not heard the things that God has prepared for you. In fact, you need to enlarge your cords and strengthen your stakes and get ready for something greater that God has prepared for this house. The more vessels God can fill and use, the more miracles will be released and blessing, and the more oil will flow and breakthrough will come. God is looking for capacity from you. In fact, that's as I was praying yesterday and today, Lord, what is the word that you're wanting to say to RPC? And the word is capacity. That this year in 2018 is your year to enlarge your capacity. This is the year to make room for capacity. He says, I can do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or think or imagine. You've been praying about little thing, but God is saying, I want you to pray about the big thing now. I want you to believe for the big thing. Is there anything too hard for God? And so 2018, it's your year to put in motion what God has already given to you and build more capacity for God and build more capacity for this city. You know, I was talking to Pastor Jim, and he says, how many are you on your waiting list for the daycare? 200 kids? 90 kids are on the waiting list. And you have 260. And you're wanting to build a facility that's going to house how many? 500 children. Talk about the influence that you will have of the families internationally in Richmond, in this greater Vancouver area. I'm telling you today that God is saying to you as a house, stop talking about it, but let's expand our capacity. I'm ready to pour out. You take the step of faith. You take the step of obedience, and I will bring in the finances. I will bring in the provision. I will bring in the people. I will bring in the entrepreneurs that are going to help you and align the right people. He says, I want to expand your capacity. Church, hear me. What God wants to do for this house, this family, this church is bigger than what you think. It's bigger. It's bigger. Things maybe have turned for the worse, but I want to say it's bigger. The enemy maybe has been attacking you because it's bigger. The circumstances have become more difficult to overcome, and the enemy has been discouraging you because it's bigger than you think. God has more for you. God has more for you. Randy to come back to the piano. And Elijah instructed the widow, when you get all the empty vessels, I want you to shut the door. Shut the door. You know, when you are getting ready to receive a breakthrough or a miracle, sometimes you're going to need to just shut the door. You're going to need to shut the door to doubt. You're going to need to shut the door to unbelief. You're going to need to shut the door to the lies of the enemy, to every negative circumstance or distraction, or even certain people. Yeah, you might even have to shut the door on people who might interfere with the vision that God has given you, or the calling that God has put in your life. You will encounter resistance, and sometimes the resistance comes from those that are closest to you. God says you need to shut the door. And when they brought in all the vessels and filled the house with these empty vessels, the widow and her two boys shut the door just as the prophet had instructed. And supply, I said supply, began to flow in demand. Widow begins to take her little bit of oil and starts to pour in faith. Can you picture this image in your mind? She kept filling one jar after another. As long as the woman kept pouring, the oil kept flowing. As long as there was an empty jar, the oil kept flowing. You see, God is attracted to capacity. The greater the capacity, the greater the flow of the oil, church. The more room you make for Him, the more He'll pour out. The more capacity you make for the thousands that are lost in this city, the more He'll bring in. It's time to expand your capacity. God didn't send the same amount of bread to everyone when they were needing manna in the wilderness. He sent more to those who were more hungry. Come on. Some of you are here today and you're going to get more because you're just more hungry for Jesus. God is saying to you today, I've got more for your house. I have blessing coming for you. More people in the city ready to be saved. More miracles coming. More reason. More breakthrough. More answers to prayer, more solutions. But you have to get yourself in a position of my oil to flow. As long as there is an empty vessel, container, and capacity, and space, the anointing oil will continue to flow. God will continue to pour out His Spirit. What is in your house? How many of you are believing for a miracle to take place in your house? The oil is about to flow, and it's going to come from something you already have. God will always use something you already have. What's in your house? What's in your hands? What's in your heart this morning? The oil comes when when we make ourselves available. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Would you just stand with me?